The children are dismissed for Children's Church. I'm always excited to have it be my turn, and always amazed that it so quickly becomes my turn to talk about the Word of God. And to share with you the things that God has taught me this week as I've studied again these passages and tried to think about how I can apply these things to my life. And so I get to share with you what I'm learning, what I'm studying. And it's a never-ending process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And I hope that's true of your life too as we study this together. Let's pray as we start. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God that is just wonderful in every way, perfect, without error, and especially designed personally for each one of us. So each one of us would think as we read it that you're talking directly to us, and you are. You're talking personally to each one of us because your Word is alive, it's real, and it changes us as we read it. Lord, use your Word and your Spirit to change us today as we study this passage. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're finishing up the book. And in the last chapter, Peter refers to the readers as his dear friends. So as we read this, we could say with Peter that he hopes that each one of us are dear friends of God as we read this passage, and we'll take it right. And we're going to talk about verses 15 through 18 today, but I'm going to start reading a little bit earlier so that you get the context of what's going on in the final verses of 2 Peter. So we'll start reading in verse 10 of chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and bless its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Verse 17, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. It's an outstanding way to finish a letter, isn't it? To finish with some last challenges to the people who are reading your words. And it's a final way that Peter asks his readers to bring glory to God by the things that they understand and the way they live. How do you say goodbye to those that you love? You know, if you were a little birdie at our house that heard everything, as our boys are leaving our house with some of them with our grandchildren, you would hear me say, Do you know the way? Watch out for the deer. Don't fall asleep. Don't run out of gas. Text me. Send me a text when you get home so that I know I can stop praying about this specific thing, that you're going to make it there in one piece. You know, when Peter wrote this last letter, he must have felt the same way. He's writing to his friends. He calls them dear friends four times in the last few verses. And he gives them some final commands and then closes with a benediction about bringing glory to God. We want that, don't we? We want our lives to bring glory to God. And all the things that we go through, all the things we say, all of our experiences, we hope at the end of our lives on this earth, people will say, by his life, by his words, by his actions, by his character, her character, they brought glory to God. And that's what Peter wanted his readers to do. Well, let's look today at an old fisherman's words that he had received from God to give to us as one of God's apostles. Three final commands for truly bringing glory to God is what I found in verses 15 through 18. Three final commands for truly bringing glory to God. First of all, we'll look at verses 15 and 16. Remember the purpose of God's patience. Remember the purpose of God's patience. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul, who wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Brother Tom read some of the words of the Apostle Paul to us. These are some of the words that Peter is referring to in this passage, that Paul writes about this, and now Peter is referring to them again. You know, the purpose of God's patience is not that somehow God is slow, or that God is on vacation, or forgot somehow about the promises that he made to us. But the purpose of God's patience in waiting for coming, waiting, delaying his coming, is the salvation of people. And earlier in chapter 3, verse 9, he spells this out for us. He says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So his delay is an expression of God's mercy. His mercy, his long suffering on our behalf. And Peter refers to the Apostle Paul in this passage because Paul talked about the same thing, the same attribute of God, the same sense that we should have about God in our lives as we think about him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, Paul writes, "God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." All men, not just some of the men, but everybody, to come to a saving knowledge of the truth. That's 2 Timothy 2:4. And then in Romans 2:4, Paul writes, "God's kindness leads us to salvation." You know, but Apostle Peter writes here that some people are ignorant of these things. They are unlearned, is another word we could use, or uneducated about these things. And they are unstable in their thinking. They are flip-flopping often in the way they talk, in the way they think about these things. and they distort or they twist or they pervert the things that the Apostle Paul has written, as they do the other scriptures. And the scriptures there is the word graphe, which means the written things. They distort the written things that God has given us for their own purposes. And this distortion, this diversion elsewhere brings about their destruction. And he says that some of the things, surely some of the things that the Apostle Paul were difficult to understand, but not impossible by those who have a redeemed mind and study it diligently, can understand these things. Remember when your kids ask the question over and over, why? You know, it's one thing when you ask, say to you, Dad, what is that? And that's an easy question to answer. But then they start asking this question, why? You know, you never thought of it yourself. Why these things? Why does the sun go come up? Well, God created it that way. Why does the sun go down, Dad? Well, because God created it that way. You know, sometimes we just have to go back to the Bible and explain to our kids why things are the way they are. It certainly took its patience to answer all those questions, didn't it? And if we lose patience, then they stop asking and they stop coming to us. We want them to come and ask for those kind of answers. But the Bible tells us that God is patient. He doesn't have to learn to be patient. He is patient. He is not developing it. He continually displays it. And you know what? You can count on it, that God is patient. He will not come until all his people have been gathered in. Only then will that glorious day come for his church. He is wonderfully patient towards the world that mocks him, that makes fun of him. But he's patient with a purpose. He's patient with a purpose, and we shouldn't forget that. You ever do that? You see somebody that's lived to be 95 years old, and you think, oh, God, this person is so evil. You know, why does this person live to be 95 years old and my cousin or somebody dies when they're 35 and they were a God lover? It's because God is patient. It's because of God's grace that he allows that older person who doesn't know Christ another chance to hear the gospel and believe. The younger person who knew Christ doesn't need that anymore. He's ready to be with Jesus. So remember the purpose of God's patience as we look around us and we think about his return. Secondly, the passage tells us to be on our guard. Look at verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. Be on your guard means to be alert. It's a military term that means to be on guard duty. You know, that's the word you would use to talk to a soldier about going out and being on guard duty. Keep your eyes open, buddy, so that the enemy doesn't sneak up on you when you're supposed to be guarding us. You know, keep awake, keep alert. And you should not get overconfident and forget the warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, that says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And the Apostle Peter describes two consequences of being caught napping at our posts. The first one is to be carried away. Says there, be on your guard so you will not be carried away by the error of lawless men. It's like a soldier who has been pounced on and taken captive and taken away to a POW camp. My great-great-grandfather was a Civil War prisoner in a rebel camp for about a year. And my uncle was a prisoner of war in Germany for a year. Both of them experienced this. They were soldiers who were pounced on by the enemy and taken away to a place they didn't want to go. So we shouldn't be caught napping for that first reason. And the second reason is to fall away from our secure position. It says that in the second part of verse 17. And fall away from your secure position is exactly what it's there. It doesn't mean that we're going to lose our salvation, but it's like stumbling backwards in our progress to be more like Christ, to lose our joy, to lose the assurance that we have in following Christ, and losing our effectiveness as we talk with people. We want to be as confident and as effective as possible when we tell other people about Jesus. And one of my friends in our church here is a guy named Kenny Beard. Kenny is 98 years old. And, Kenny often describes his time when he was in the Army. He was stationed in Alaska during World War II when the Japanese attacked us, and were up there. And he describes one time he had to do guard duty one night. And they had warned the guys who were going to do guard duty that there were bears in their area. Well, one night, Kenny was standing there with his rifle, and he was on the edge of a building that, was guarding an entrance into the building by a door. And he was looking around, and right around the corner came two bears in the middle of the night. And Kenny says, I ducked into that door and got inside before they ate me up. And that's why Kenny's still around us today. He survived because he was on his guard. He was on his guard. He was alert. And that's the same way that we should be when we think about the Lord's coming. It could be today. It could be this evening. It could be tomorrow. It's imminent. We should be on our alert about that thing, those things. Thirdly, the third command about bringing glory to God is growing in grace and knowledge. Look at verse 18, the final words that Peter writes to us. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. We're not just to be knowledgeable about anything, but we're to be knowledgeable about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a two-part command there, isn't it? The first part talks about growing in grace. And that word to grow is in the present tense. It means keep on growing in grace. Not just, I've received Jesus as my Savior, so let me be. I've arrived. No, we're supposed to continue to grow in grace, in the sphere of understanding God's unmerited favor. We didn't deserve this. Somehow God, in his love for us, gave Jesus to go to the cross, to lay down his life, to pour out his blood, so that we might, through faith, have eternal life, have our sins forgiven. I can never, ever get over that. And in the first part of 2 Peter, he talks about the exercise of the seven spiritual graces that come with knowing Jesus. He talks about goodness. He talks about adding to our faith knowledge, adding to our faith self-control, adding to our faith perseverance, adding to our faith godliness, adding to our faith brotherly kindness, and adding to our faith love. That's how we continue to grow in grace when we understand the graces that Peter mentions in this book. This process of spiritual growth begins when we trust Christ personally for salvation, when we're regenerated, and continues through knowing Him more and more and more until the day we meet Him face to face. And it mainly comes through study of the Bible. There are other ways too, but the Bible is the key thing in our growth to be more and more like Christ. You know, someone might ask about how we can grow. What can I practically do to grow in grace and knowledge? Well, think a little bit how a baby grows. First of all, a baby needs nourishment. He must feed on the scriptures. And Peter talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And our grandson Jack is like that today. You know, he's 3 months old. And, you know, he sleeps a little bit. He looks around a little bit. But really, he's about eating. You know, he really wants to eat. And if he doesn't get to eat, then he gets mad. He gets mad really quickly. And there it talks about in that passage to yearn for this milk. Crave pure spiritual milk so that we can grow up. Our grandson Jack is not going to grow up if he doesn't get a lot of nourishment that he needs. So first thing is nourishment. That's what we need to grow. Secondly, we need exercise. We can't develop our spiritual muscles if we don't obey. Hebrews chapter 5 talks about that. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. It says there, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. Jack hasn't decided to do this yet, but pretty soon he's going to start to crawl. And he's going to start to grab hold of things and hold on to things and stand up next to things. And he's going to try to stand up. And what we always did is we grabbed him by the hands and we'd walk him around the room so they'd exercise all of those muscles that they need in order to walk and walk quickly. So a baby needs nourishment. A baby needs exercise, and we need it too. The third thing he needs is communication. He needs to talk with God. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says this. Hopefully I can find it here. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Praying to God is talking with God. It's communication with God. We need to pray if we want to grow. We need to communicate with God. And with our granddaughter Mira, she's not communicating very well with us yet. And so we tell her, Mira, you can't just grab our hand and lead us around and show us what you want, because grandma and grandpa are old. We don't understand, Mira, what you're talking about. You have to tell us what you want. And she hasn't quite reached that understanding yet, but she's growing. And she's learned one word pretty well. No. When she doesn't want something. So she's getting it. But it takes her a while as she grows to a mature person. And we need to learn to communicate with God, don't we? Also, so that He knows what we want, so that He can give us all these good things that He has prepared for us when we ask. and not before. So we need nourishment. We need exercise. We need communication with God. And finally, we need friends. We need friends. Some people who help us to grow into a normal adult. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 addresses it like this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And one of the things our granddaughter Mira likes is when the other cousins come, David's children, he has four, they come because they can do all kinds of things that she hasn't started to do yet. You know, she can do this with blocks. They can do this with blocks. They can do this by, you know, running from this place to that place. And she's just watching them in amazement as they do all. She thinks, oh, maybe I could do that too. And that's what it's like sometimes in going to church. People there sometimes are more mature than we are. Sometimes they have a different way of looking at things, a different practical way of applying things. And we need that. We need to hear that from them as we grow, as we want to be more and more like Jesus. You know, I watch my grandchildren, and I say, you know, there are really no shortcuts for them to grow up to be mature adults. There are going to be a lot of things they have to go through. And it's the same way with us as Christians. We receive Jesus as our Savior, but there are no shortcuts to spiritual growth. It's a long obedience in the same direction, growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, these are final steps for bringing glory to God. We have to remember the purpose of God's patience. We have to be on our guard. And we have to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know, maybe you're not like me at all. Maybe you don't have any trouble saying goodbye to those that you love. It's always been hard for me. You know, breaking up or, you know, parting ways with people has always been a hard thing for me. But maybe it isn't for you. But how do you say goodbye to those that you love? Did God say anything to you today as you listened about things in your life? Did he gently nudge you? You know, if it was been my younger brother, it wouldn't have been a nudge. It would have been, George, get this. And I would have probably done something back to him too. But, you know, God does that to us. He nudges us and speaks to us in his way, his cool, you know, quiet voice. He speaks to us and tells us, hey, there's some things that you could easily change in your life so that I could become a bigger part of what you're like. And how about your guarding? How about your being aware of things? Are you awake at your post that God has assigned you to? Are you regularly taking in God's word and thinking about it? Are you nourishing? Are you taking in this nourishment that you need for your life with him? Are you exercising? Are you doing good things? Are you exercising, putting your faith into practice so that God can teach you wonderful things through that whole process? And the final question is, do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you given your life to him? That's the most important thing that people could do. Any person in here could do is to say, hey, you know, I've tried to make it on my own, and it doesn't work. God, come into my heart, come into my life, and make me a new person. Make me like Jesus. Help me, Father, to receive you as Savior and Lord. Help me to repent from the stuff I've done in the past and to become like Jesus. Help me to turn to you. It's Jesus went to the cross in order to pay for each one of the sins that we have committed. And then he rose from the dead gloriously and ascended to his Father. And before long, he's going to be coming back on the clouds, in the clouds, and he's going to send his angels to take us away, to lift us up. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, we're going to be snatched away. And that's what it talks about here in this passage. Being ready for that day when Jesus is coming back for you and for me, so we can receive a great reward or entrance into his eternity. Thanks. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. We just pray that you will help us as we follow you to receive these things, to understand these things, to be ready for when you come back. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please stand. You know, one of the blessings of COVID, I meant that, one of the blessings of COVID is that we've had a lot of hymns that we don't normally sing that we've been singing. And today we're going to sing a very old one that Cindy has taught us. And we've only sang it a couple times, but it's a very good hymn with good words. So as you sing it, make sure you're paying attention.